Welcome to Vox Vomitus, also known as Word Vomit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Vox Vomitus. I am your host, Jennifer Ann Gordon, the author of the Kindle Award-winning novel for Best Horror, Beautiful, Frightening, and Silent, as well as the novels Pretty Ugly and the Hotel series. Joining me today, as always, is my Vox Vomitus vixen, Allison Martine, author of The Bourbon Books, which includes the award-winning novel Dibs, Since September, Move on Melinda, and Climb the Salmon Ladder. Joining us today is a guest that we have wanted to have for quite some time, Philip Fracassi, here to talk about his upcoming release, A Child Alone with Strangers, which I don't have to hold up, so I'm just going to hold up other random books of Philip's, Boys in the Valley. Stoker nominated Beneath a Pale Sky.
Yeah, I read it on my computer, so I can't exactly use the computer that I'm filming on now to show the really pretty cover. But Jen, show your necklace because it has the same colors as the cover.
If anybody can see that, I am my outfit matching of the cover.
Yeah, it's got some blue and green in it for sure.
Yeah, we tried to match and she's like, fall colors. And I said, I'm just doing the cover. Do you see the cover here with the skull of the child and all sorts of things?
I can one-up you by showing.
Yeah, please show the cover.
I don't have the book. I don't have the cover, but I do have the cover for this book, which is Gothic.
Gothic, yes. Turn it around. It's upside down. I know you don't have your glasses on and neither does Jen, but I can see
I see you guys are blurry shapes. This is all just.
Here we go. That one.
Amoebas. And
I've seen that on a certain Josh Malerman's post that he's been about this. Yeah, I mean he talks you up, so.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
The very first time we talked to Josh, he randomly brought you up in the middle of his interview. He's like, do you know Philip? We were like, we know of Philip. So welcome.
Mm-hmm. We nudged.
We nudged.
Yeah. Josh is a buddy of mine. Yeah. I don't have A Child Alone with Strangers, unfortunately, from the publisher yet.
But it's coming out how soon? Because I know that I'm recommending it to people, but they're going, I can't get it yet. And I said, Just wait.
I appreciate the excitement. I also appreciate just gotta hang in there.
Patience. Yes. This book, it got delayed a little bit.
This book got delayed three times. Which I don't
so
think
it's like
is,
a flight you really want to get on, but it's just not happening.
It's you know, there's printer issues and there's because of COVID, blah blah blah. So I don't know, for whatever reason it's been delayed. It just got delayed again like last week. It was supposed to come out October 18th, but it is now coming out October 25th.
Okay, well, I will say it probably takes a long time. It's perfect for Halloween, and it's going to take a long time to print this book because Philip, this is a massive book. When we both started reading it, we were like, oh, it's quite long. Usually the books we read are like...
That is not what I said, Jennifer.
I think I opened it
and I said, Jen, you did not tell me this was a chonker, because for people who watch at home, they know we read about a book a week. And normally those books are between 280 to 380. That's about how quickly we clip through it. And then I opened this and went, holy crap, I'm never going to finish this. And then when I actually started reading it, I started zipping through it and I finished a couple days ago. So
yeah, you finished. I am a little over page 400. So not that we would talk spoilers, because of course the book did not come out yet. But even after the show, do not tell me the end, because I was up late reading it last night. I love it.
I just wanted to know how many of the different triggers that Jen has that she's encountered in your book so far, because I lost track.
I just tell people, if you have a trigger, it's probably in one of my books. So if there's anything that you're going to read that throws you into, you know, a days long malaise.
I like the word malaise.
Of childhood.
Trauma.
Just don't read my books. Read something else. Go read anything else, but don't read my books.
Well, you know, and I feel like I love horror. It's predominantly what I read. But then people ask me, like, what are you scared of? I'm like, I'm scared of everything. Mm-hmm. I feel like I read horror and I read true crime and I like do dark literature so much to like desensitize myself. So maybe someday I won't be so scared of crabs or bees or somebody throwing rocks at me.
Well, I mean, got me scared of crabs. I shouldn't say Stephen King got me crabs. He didn't like send me a box from like a crab bake or something. No. But after drawing of the three, crabs freaked me. I'm like, thanks a lot for the lobstrosities. Thank you.
Yeah,
the lobstrosities.
Yeah. If you have a crab phobia, you should not read my novella, Saculina.
You know,
because that is literally about killer barnacles. If you know what a Saculina is, it's a parasitic crab
thing.
Eats their brain and then controls them.
So. Don't like that.
I would still read that, but I just know for people who've watched the show before, they know Jen is literally scared of everything. So it's not one of those things where I've just given away a lot of spoilers by saying this.
There's no crabs in Child Alone.
There's no crabs so far. In Child Alone with Strangers.
But there are comments popping up by your fans who are warning of something. So I'm not putting them up because we don't want to spoil anything for those who haven't had a chance to read the book yet, because most people haven't, because it hasn't come out yet.
It's because that's not out. Yeah. But it is a big book. It's 600 pages. So it's a door, what we used to call a doorstop novel.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it really reminds me of like old school Stephen King, old school Peter Straub, where like I remember getting those books as kids and, you know, now, and just like holding them in my hands and just being like, yes, this is going to be like quite the journey. And so
telling your family, I will see you in a month. Just
see you later.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. You know, again, we're going to bring up the Mallarmine in the room. When I got Ghoul in the Cape, I was like, whoa.
That's a doorstop. That's a house stop. Yeah, that's a big novel. That's 1,000 pages.
Yeah.
It's 1,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's big. It is big. And I guess we're going to have to bring up Stephen King again, because your book, Child Alone with Strangers, is very reminiscent of King in the best possible way. You've had quite a year, Philip, and I think a lot of really exciting things happen when a certain Mr. King tweeted about Boys in the Valley. Can you tell us what that was like? Did you lose your mind?
It was the best of times,
it was the worst of times.
It was tragically beautiful. It was a horror show. It was great. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So the 32nd story is Sadie Hartman, also known as Mother Horror, who's a big fan and supporter of my work, which I appreciate on a daily basis.
Been a guest on this show.
She's been a guest on our show.
Oh, good. Yeah. She was a guest on my podcast. She's a wonderful person. She wrote a very nice review for Boys in the Valley, and posted it on Twitter. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's a great review, Sadie. When the book eventually comes out in a trade edition, because all the books currently are sold out and nobody can buy them, I look forward to using her review as like a little blurb. And I was on vacation with my wife. We were skiing and we were some remote cabin in Big Bear. And I said to her, and this is the God's honest truth, you can ask her when you see her, because I'm sure I was looking at Sadie's tweet and all the people were like responding to it. And I said to my wife, I said, this is hilarious because nobody can buy this book. And I'm getting all this response. And she was like, oh yeah, that's too bad. I said, watch, next thing you know, Stephen King's going to tweet about it. The next day.
You manifested it.
We're on the ski slopes and my phone is in my pocket and it's bzz, 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 you know, doing the whole, it's dancing. And I'm like, what the? So I get to the bottom of the hill.
You can swear.
I take my phone out and I just see messages and, you know, posts and PMs and Twitter things. And I opened up and lo and behold, Stephen King has tweeted
about the book that nobody can get,
of my book, and said, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy it. I think was the exact thing. And I was like, oh no.
And, oh no, he can't get it.
The next two, Nobody can buy it. You can't buy it, Steven. Nobody can buy it. And so I had thousands, literally thousands of messages and tweets and angry messages and most of it was nice and like, oh, you know, excited, want to get it. Too bad it's not. And but a lot of people were like, what kind of book is it if you can't even buy it? How good could it possibly be? And things like that. And why would you? One guy messaged me and said, why would you tell Stephen King to tweet about your book when no one can buy it?
Oh, yeah. Which you called Stephen King.
First off, dude, nobody tells Stephen King to do anything.
Uncle Steve,
probably
would you
not even his editor. Okay.
Bounce, so no one tells Stephen what to do. So it was good. Like I said, it was obviously it was amazing. But it was tragic in the sense that nobody could actually buy the book that Stephen King tweeted about. Mm-hmm. So, but on the positive side, that tweet opened a lot of doors because at the time the book wasn't published. The book hadn't been sold to a publisher, a trade publisher. It had only been in a limited edition of 500 copies with Earthling, who I love. And my agent at the time was just about to, like, literally, this was like a Thursday, I think. On Monday, she was going to roll out a big sales pitch net for a different book I wrote. Yeah, well, for a different book I wrote called The Blue Butterfly. And of course, and then, you know, so we basically said, forget that book. That book is on the shelf.
Go.
Let's take out Boys in the Valley and Strike While the Iron's Hot. And yeah, within a week, 2 weeks, I'd sold it to Nightfire. So I was very excited. And it helped, of course, for them to go online and see, you know, over 1,000 people saying, I want to buy this book. Why can't I buy this book? I'm going to kill somebody if I don't buy this book. That's the kind of thing a publisher, I think, wants to see.
That's what they want to hear. Murder. They want to hear threats of murder.
Yeah,
if they don't.
I mean,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, a lot of people got pretty psycho about it. So it was great. And so it's good. And the book is now coming out in July of 2023, July 11th, 2023. And it has also since been sold to Orbit in the UK. So it'll be a worldwide release.
So everybody who's been bitter since Stephen King tweeted about it.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's
the time is now.
Has someone slipped Uncle Steve a copy? Yeah. Like, does he have a copy now? So he gets his need met. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
both Paul Miller at Earthling Publications and my friend Richard Chismar, who's a good friend of Stephen King's, obviously. Between them, they coordinated getting Stephen a book, and he has the book. And so now we're just hoping he reads it. Because that would be nice. And
that would be great.
I don't know,
to get
about it again. So we'll see. From what I understand, Allison made the point. He does what he wants to do. He promotes what he wants to promote. He reads what he wants to read. There's no like influencing that, I think, with him.
Right.
So it's just a matter of like, well, he has it. And I hope he reads it. And I hope he enjoys it. I'm just happy that he has it.
Yeah, Mitch Hull says he told Stephen King to tweet about Boys.
Oh,
so Mitch, you might also need to tell him to read it. So get on that, okay? Thank you. All right.
Yeah. We could just like, barnstorm King's Twitter with request for.
Could you please?
So that was exciting and it was fun and it was weird, but it was a very cool thing. And I'm thankful to Sadie for the review and I'm thankful to Stephen King for retweeting it. And hopefully a percentage of that buzz carries, you know, stays with the book for the next six months or so.
Well, hopefully I would think anybody who reads A Child Alone with Strangers will be excited to read anything else after that, because that alone should be generating the buzz, whether Stephen's involved in this or anything, because can I just say yikes? As a mother, can I just say yikes? I was just sitting there going, how many different things should I be afraid of by the time this book is over? And I don't want to make any spoilers, but I'm pretty sure it says like right on the page that it deals with a kidnapping. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How the kidnapping occurs. No spoilers. It's one of those things where you just go, holy fuck, there's nothing I can do to protect my child if people are going to go pull this kind of nonsense. So I don't know if you have children, but I'm just like, that's it. I'm putting my children in a locked room in my house, and I'm never, right now they're being watched by my mother-in-law. I'm sure they're fine. I haven't heard anybody screaming for a while, so they're probably
gone.
Yeah. I don't
know. They've been taken.
Just shovel some food in there once a day or so.
here's some popcorn.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I'll say when we started Child Alone with Strangers, I remember thinking, oh, this is a lot of Allison's triggers because she and I differ on some of our likes and dislikes for things. She doesn't tend to want to read true crime and or things where terrible things happen to kids.
No.
Which is understandable. So, your main character in Child Alone with Strangers has had some terrible luck.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, is Allison going to be able to get through this?
I'm not going to call that luck. Let's just say things have happened to this child. And
Henry is put through the grinder for sure. Oh, little Henry.
Henry must have taken a cursed rock from someplace at one point in his very early childhood. And now he's just.
But
he goes through
some
rough stuff.
Just how you deal with it, though, you had me on the edge of my seat, obviously, because you have a child here. Alone with Strangers, but just so much of who Henry is was captivating before that even started, to the point where I didn't know how any of this was going to go out, and I can't spoil any of it, and I can't even talk to Jennifer yet because she hasn't finished. Like, you have to finish the book, so I have someone to talk to about it. I might when we're done say, Jen, run along. I want to ask Philip some stuff while you're doing la la la. But the way you handle it, he is not a character where it's like, well, yes, and there's a child who, so many times when you read things with children or watch things with children, the child is literally an object.
Right.
Henry is not an object. And that, first of all, I appreciated that he was an actioned character and not just like, yep, we move him like a sack of potatoes. Now he's over here.
Yeah, no, that was actually, it's a good point. It's actually important because it is something I did make it, you know, something I did consciously, which is I wanted Henry to have agency throughout. And it's one of the things that actually makes the book work is, and this is not a spoiler, but you know, were Henry older, you could almost make the argument that he kind of rides a thin, you know, he kind of rides that line of,
I know what
good
you're gonna say.
Bad.
Yeah.
You know, he like, kind of he
some of his choices are questionable.
Yeah, he takes it. Yeah. He does what he needs to do to get to, you know, to survive and theoretically.
Yeah.
And
but you're right, because I mean if he was 12 or 13, even like it would read different.
It also helps that he's small for his age, and my eldest is 11, and she's small for her age. So I'm picturing a child around that size, but I also know what she's capable of. So of course now I'm thinking my child's going to get kidnapped and do all this, but she is not Henry in most ways. She's very smart, but some of the other things that make
you should test her with the cards.
I'm not going to do. Last I checked, if she has any kind of any additional cognition going on up there, it's only that she's almost this close to the million word club. That's all. Yeah.
If she starts reading your thoughts, I'd take a step back and read
and expressing them.
She doesn't even let me get to the end of a sentence. She's not reading my thoughts.
The other thing about Henry that I think makes that character, because a lot of people who have read the book, who have gotten early, you know, glimpses at it, you know, a lot of people really fall in love with Henry's character. And I think the reason that is, frankly, is, and I did this again, this is very purposeful, is because I wanted Henry to be very smart and very determined and very vulnerable, right? But he's also very compassionate. And I think that's what, there are a lot of little moments in that book where it really shows that he has a big heart. And that I think makes people like connect with him and root for him and want, you know, and want to see his punishers punished, as it were. And he's a really fully fleshed out little kid character. Unlike, to your point, he's not a sack of potatoes. He's not a cardboard cutout that gets, you know, for target practice. He's very much a real little boy, and I love him to death. I hope to do another book with Henry. I have an idea for a sequel of sorts where Henry is grown up.
A Doctor Sleep, if you will.
That may.
Oh.
A Doctor Sleep, if you will. Yeah, exactly. Right. That may be sort of like the with, yeah, that kind of a thing where he's now older and he's kind of still dealing a lot with that trauma and mm-hmm. still dealing a lot with also some of the things that he developed talent, skill wise, gift wise, and also still dealing with, you know, what he discovered in the woods when he was kidnapped.
Yes. Well, and to be fair, I will say the pacing of this book is really incredible, but it also doesn't start on page one with the kidnapping. So without giving anything away, the kidnapping isn't the first thing that this kid goes through to the point where you're just like, just knowing the title, I was wondering what was going to happen when things started occurring in the plot where I thought, who are these strangers? And I hadn't read the part because I didn't see like the blurb. I just got Jen sending me a PDF saying, this is the book, go read it. So I didn't even know we were dealing with a kidnapping. That's alluded to then. So it is alluded really early, but I was thinking there could have been other strangers coming after certain things that happened in the very beginning. That doesn't happen, but
right.
you said all sorts of things worrying for me. I'm like, what's going to happen? He's going to be sent over here and it's going to go really, really badly. And then there's
and also the child in the title has a sort of dual
thing.
Because Henry's not the only child who's endangered in the book.
Yeah, there are other things.
But I was gonna say, Allison, you might just I'm gonna give you your own personal live trigger warning. Is if kids' endangerment bothers you, Boys in the Valley might be a book you want to skip. It's literally about an orphanage.
It's so good.
All the characters are children.
Inspection.
It's more, yeah.
Which kind of are you talking?
If you read Inspection and then you turned it to 11, you'd get.
I loved Inspection.
Yeah. Oh, and it's like you'll be okay. Old timey. You'll be fine. And what I love is, so I was very lucky to get an ARC from Earthling Publications, which is why I have this. The house, the orphanage on the cover looks just like my house. I know.
It is your house. Jen, is your house secretly an orphanage?
It feels like
That cover is a painting by Glenn Chadbourne. So he did a wonderful
It's a gorgeous job cover. Painting.
He also did the
painting in your house.
He also painted the cover of Gothic for Earthling, the Earthling Publications. Ooh. Edition. Nice. Not the one I just showed you. That's the Cemetery Dance edition.
So do you own these paintings?
I do not own Boys in the Valley, but Paul Miller at Earthling was very, very nice and actually sent me as a surprise gift. He sent me the original painting for Gothic, which I would show you, but it's actually at the framers right now. I took it to get framed. So I do have that. I do have the painting for Gothic, which, and I posted it on my Facebook page. I posted a picture of me holding it and looking really happy, which I was. But I don't have Boys in the Valley now.
I think that's a specific request now that Philip would like Boys in the Valley sent to him. Anyone listening, to say that would be nice.
Oh, please send it to me.
I think he holds on to most of those. I actually, Glenn's been great. Glenn Chadbourne's great. I've worked with him now, I think four times. So, and we did a book together, or he illustrated a book of mine, with Cemetery Dance, a novella that has not come out. I don't know if it's going to come out or if it does come out, when it would come out, but,
can you tell us anything about the book?
It's actually The Wheel, which is the second story in my story collection, Beneath the Pale Sky. I actually did, Cemetery Dance originally bought that book.
We lost
as part of right in there. Okay. They originally bought that book as a standalone novella as part of their signature series, and then a couple of years went by, and I asked Rich and Brian Freeman at the time, who was still there, if I could use it for this collection, and they were like, "Yeah, it's fine, we don't care," and they said that in the nicest way.
Yeah, they were like, "Philip, we don't care at all what happens."
Yeah, I feel like that's how most rights discussions go. Yeah, do whatever, we don't care.
I think their attitude is they're going to sell their whatever, however many copies they print, regardless. So I think they're okay with it being a reprint versus, and plus they're probably like, we don't know when this book's ever going to come out. So,
so we'll before we went live, before Philip, you even joined us, Allison and I were talking, she was on your website. We were kind of going through your books that you have out, the books that are coming out, and your work is kind of A, exploding, but B, everywhere. Like you have things from all different publishers. Is that exhausting? What is that like? Like, what was that process even like?
How many editors' emails are you currently ignoring? I know.
Yeah, it is exhausting. I am exhausted. It's been it's one of those things where it kind of feels like, probably to an outside observer, like, oh my God, Philip's doing all of this stuff like right now. And what actually is Philip has been doing all this stuff for like 5 years, and it just so happens, because of this and that and the other thing, that scheduling wise, it's all kind of coming out at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's the best of times and it's the worst of times yet again, because I find myself having to promote like 4 or 5 different things kind of simultaneously. Like right now I have 3-4 books up for pre-order, you know, and another book, you know, and then in another book coming at pending, and then that's sold out already, which is Don't Let Them Get You Down from Zagava. That's sold out. And then I have the children's book coming out, and then I have these deluxe editions coming out from Thunderstorm. So it's a bit of a gauntlet right now. And I'm doing a lot of, and I'm on deadline. I'm just going to straight up start bitching. And so then I have to
write.
Well,
that's why we're called Vox Vomitus. It's which part right. of it.
It's fine.
And I just finished a screenplay, which is for a movie that is based on one of my short stories, Death of My Old Friend, which is the last story in Beneath the Pale Sky. So I just finished that screenplay, and now I'm on deadline for the novel, the second novel for Tor Nightfire in Orbit, which is called Brothers, which will be out in June 2024. So, and I'm promoting like all this stuff at the same time. So it's a lot right now, but I'm hoping that once A Child Alone with Strangers comes out, and once the children's book comes out, and once Gothic comes out next February, I'll be able to kind of relax a little bit.
You'll be able to do the normal thing that authors do. Yeah, but
it's great, right? It's a great problem to have. It's a great problem to have.
Well, can you tell us about the children's book, and can my 11-year-old read it, or will she never sleep again? She doesn't sleep great now, so.
No, the children's book is for little kids. A 5-year-old could read it. You could read it to a.
Okay.
You could read it to your little baby. It's a straight up children's book. It's somewhere between like a board book, mm-hmm. if you're a parent, you know what that is, and like a children's book. Like a little scholastic type.
So we're talking like it's Wolves in the Walls, like when Neil Gaiman did that one. I don't know if you've read that one. He's done some kids books. That. So yeah, I mean, and
yeah, but no, it's very
fun to be able to read a kid's book that's like, it's by one of my favorite authors. Here you go, kid. Can I read more? No, you cannot read anything else by this author probably ever. But it's fun to do that. How did you end up deciding to write a little kid's book?
Well, I don't know. I think I kind of write whatever I want to write. And I think,
go, what are we doing? I can't shop a children's book and a book about brain sucking crabs.
Confused. That's all.
I think my film agent and my literary agent would probably prefer me to focus on one genre, but that said, you know, I did like, So I wrote the children's book, a boy, it's called Boy with the Blue Rose Heart. It's coming out from Hybrid Sequence Media. You can read, it's a very sweet story. No monsters, nothing. The illustrations,
no monsters.
Somebody made the comment that the illustrations are scary, but I don't think they are. And I read far worse when I was a kid, but, so that's coming out. And then I have a couple horror books coming out. 3 horror books coming out. Right. And then but Don't Let Them Get You Down, which is the Zagava book. That's not genre. That's literary, a dark literary, you know, kind of character study. My agent is, shopping a book right now called Observe, which is science fiction. Nice. I have the book I mentioned earlier called Blue Butterfly, which is mm-hmm. a straight up thriller. It does have like some supernatural elements, but it's basically what you'd consider a thriller, versus like horror. So mm-hmm. I kind of write what I want to write. And you know, the Brothers is definitely a horror book because that's part of the 2-book deal with Nightfire. So they you know, they want horror. So I kind of like to keep it interesting. And I've also been writing more short work, in the science fiction kind of, it's sort of slipstream. It's kind of scary science fiction. But so I have like three, I think I have like three stories coming out over the next year from InterZone magazine, which is a science fiction magazine. So yeah, I kind of bounce around.
Screenplays, because you said the one that's at the end of the collection is going to be a screenplay. What genre is that?
I don't know. If you've read Death My Old Friend, if you've read Death My Old Friend, which is the last story in Beneath the Pale Sky, it's, I don't know if you'd classify it as horror. The story is about a kid who grows up literally with death as his best friend. So it's like a coming of age story.
Yeah, for it's sweet.
These two kids who grow up together, but one of the kids is death. And so they kind of go through all that normal stuff that kids go through, but one of the kids is death. So death. there's some anxiety that comes along with that. So the screenplay, I think I would say it's sort of a drama, but it's, with sort of, I guess, obviously with an obvious supernatural, twist, but it's really more about the characters and about what they go through as people. It's not like there's a lot of really scary, horrible things happening. It does have some moments of suspense, I would say, where you're not sure what death is necessarily up to or what his agenda necessarily is. But yeah, so it's I would say it's more of a drama with like a supernatural twist. I turned the script in and I was very worried because it's very different than a traditional script. I've written a lot of screenplays and had a couple produced, and this is a very non-traditional screenplay. It's a very non-traditional film. And I was a little worried that the director and the producer, who are attached to it, were going to be concerned, but they really enjoyed it. And one of the things that the producer said, which I agree with, is like, I haven't seen this movie before, which excited him.
That's a great compliment.
It's kind of a new thing. Which movie do you want to rewatch with a new title and slightly different looking actors?
Right. And that's the thing. There's such a glut of content right now, right? Because of the screen, you turn on Netflix every day and there's like 50 new movies that you've never heard of. And I think a lot of them are kind of, yeah, and I think a lot of them are interchangeable.
Produce them too. Oh, and some of them, yeah, I'm pretty sure they are, and half of them have Chris Hemsworth, so I think they might own him right now. I'm not entirely.
And the other
sure.
half, another half of Bruce Willis, but yeah, so God rest his soul. He's not, not dead, but his
poor
his
Bruce.
He's not dead.
I almost said R.I.P. and I'm like, no, I'm going to get hate mail if I say that.
No, but people are asking, will we get an audio release for A Child Alone with Strangers? Because I did complain to Jen. Jen got a lot of complaints from me when she handed me a giant PDF. And my fault for not looking at it sooner to see that it was giant, because she knows my favorite way to.
It's hard to know because it's a PDF.
It's a PDF. Exactly. I didn't know how big the thing was. It wasn't like this thing came in the mail and just dropped my doorstep and broke it. But I love audiobooks. And so I was like, maybe it's not out yet. So there was no audio, at least now.
Yeah, to read with your eyeballs.
I like to read with my ears. Thank you very much.
Right. Yeah. So the answer is technically, Skyhorse, who bought Child Alone with Strangers, Talos Press is the imprint that's publishing it. They're part of Skyhorse. They bought audio rights. Whether or not they are doing an audiobook is a question I don't know the answer to, because they don't tell me that much. I have asked and they have not answered that question. So my agent has warned me to not.
Yeah, it's okay.
To be kind.
Yeah.
I love publishers. I love them because they publish my books. How could I not love them?
And sometimes I don't know whether it's going to be out of your hands that you wish you had more control over.
I think there's going to be an audiobook. There should be an audiobook. They've bought the rights for audiobook. I don't know if the audiobook is going to come out and if it comes out or when. I will say this. We did sell Gothic will be an audiobook. I can say that with emphasis, because we sold the audio rights directly, and the plan is for the audiobook to be out the same day as the print book, which is February 3rd, 2023. So Gothic will have an audiobook. Child, I hope we'll have an audiobook. I hope so. And Boys in the Valley will definitely have an audiobook, because that's Macmillan. So they do their own audiobooks in house. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say very facetiously, I volunteered to do the audiobook. I would be the worst narrator for this. I think there are very, not to complain, but there are a few women characters in them. And I don't think I sound like how Jenny should sound. And I definitely don't sound like an 11-year-old boy. I'm not as talented as the woman who does Bart Simpson. And I don't sound like any of the adult men. So
I just, yeah, I would love I'm, it for I'm, it to I'm, be an audiobook because I just would be curious at how long it would be.
Forever. Well,
I'm always excited when I'm like, oh, it's 20 hours.
How long Ghoul in the Cape was. I was trying to think, what's the longest thing I've read? And I have a hard time because we talk about, well, how many pages? And pages is a product of font and spacing and all this stuff, and not necessarily how long the book actually is. And so I was like, okay, well, a paperback, it can be fatter than a hardback and not actually longer. And I know Great North Road, I think, was the one that I thought was longer than anything I had read by King, but I don't know. And then I read Bubblegum, and that was like 40 hours as an audiobook. Oops.
Yeah. Child Alone with Strangers might be one of those books you want to do at the 1.15 speed. I'm not sure. It'll be a long book. I'm actually kind of interested to see how they do Boys in the Valley, because Boys in the Valley has like literally 30 characters.
Yeah.
And they're adults. There's a few adults, mm-hmm. but majority of them are children. They're all boys, which probably makes it a little bit easier, but they all have, you know, so that would be, I'm very curious to see. They're going to have to find somebody who's pretty wildly talented, I think, to pull that mm-hmm. off, because
yeah.
because that was one of the challenges for me writing the book, was like, how do I make each of these children have a distinctive voice, quote yeah. unquote.
And I will say this, the reader
doesn't confuse them.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Have you read it, Jennifer? I didn't know that. Did you read Boys in the Valley?
Yes,
oh,
I did.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's
I read
it. Showing it off.
That's why I keep showing it.
I got the pretty.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, I know you had the arc. I didn't know you'd actually read it. That's great.
I did actually read it.
Great.
It was one of the very few books that, again, we read books every week for our podcast. And then we, you know, sometimes we have to blurb books and stuff like that. And there's very few books that we read for fun.
For me. I read it for me.
And it was a for me book.
Yeah. I have those for me books too. I know. I get, I am not a popular author, but I get a lot of
I beg to differ.
I'm going to type that in the comment. I am not a book, Philip Fracassi. Yet.
Yeah. But that's, I get a lot of requests for blurbs and stuff. And I can't even imagine like what guys or girls who have actual like books out with big five publishers. I mean, obviously you have to kind of create a like buffer between you and the world to a degree, because like I turn down blurbs now because I mean, I've got like four novels and people just send you novels. Yeah. And they're like, hey, can you blurb this? And you know, and you and they don't, I think what people don't always understand, and I try and always be sensitive to this, is yes, a blurb takes me 2 minutes to write, but the novel,
but you have to read the damn book.
You have to read the book.
Right. Hours and hours of my free time, quote unquote. Yeah. And the worst is when people, I always tell people, please don't send me a PDF. I am at my computer 10 hours a day. I do not want to be there any longer than I have to be. Mm-hmm. So I prefer, but yes. So the whole blurb thing is a thing. And I just can't imagine. Mitch's beer, Rapture beer, the best.
Yeah.
Rapture beer is the best beer in the planet. Rapture Brewing is the best beer on the planet. And I don't mind blurbing beer because I can take care of that. No problem.
I mean, if somebody wanted me to blurb whiskey or bourbon, I could definitely blurb bourbon all day.
I'm going to say right now, if there's any scotch distributors watching this, I will blurb your scotch.
Yeah. Anybody reaches out to you for bourbon, let me know. I mean, the fact that my series is actually called The Bourbon Books and no one has tried to send me free bourbon makes me very sad, but I am completely unknown. Ridiculous. So
I've gotten free bourbon because my characters tend to be alcoholics.
So that's good. Even free booze. It didn't happen. I'm still jealous because, see, Philip, this could happen to you, but an author I interviewed for my solo show, To the Moon Allison, Rika Aoki, she was at the BevMo there in LA, and she ran into the Bourbon Brothers, aka the guys from the Vampire Diaries. She didn't even know who they were. And so she's got a signed bottle, and then she drank it on my show. And I'm like, I am beyond jealous that you got to meet these guys, and you got the drink, and you're drinking on my show. And I'm just like, where's my
bourbon's actually? Where is my bourbon? Legitimately very good.
I've heard it. She loved it. So I'm like,
I have an empty bottle of it behind me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that show or those people or that, but I do.
But they have vampires. Isn't that horror?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched it. Okay. But
it's girly stuff for tweens.
Oh, yeah. My wife might know.
What and 40-year-old woman like me.
I'm like, and for older women.
For older women, like, you're like, way too old for those men. Doesn't matter.
I do keep a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue Label. And when I finish a big project, like a novel or a screenplay or something, I just go ahead and feel like is big. I'll call it big. Like I'll have a celebratory glass of the Johnny Blue Label, which is a very nice
you
thing.
Should.
But for the most part, I drink crappy drugstore scotch.
What was on the cheapest thing? Oh, that's on the I'll take it. Yeah, and the label, like, it's just like, it just says like scotch in big letters.
Yeah, just labeled scotch.
It's just white, it's a white label with the blue mm-hmm. scotch across mm-hmm. it.
You're like, that'll do.
It actually has just the scotch tape on top of it.
Yeah, we're writers. It doesn't necessarily have to be good alcohol until like it's like you're celebrating something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then I like to drink the nice stuff. Yeah, but for the most part, I just drink whatever. My Ralph's grocery has a nice, they offer a Dewar's 12 year, which is sort of my house scotch. If you buy two bottles, you get them for $19 a piece, which is pretty darn good. Normally it's $25.99.
Yeah.
So.
And I buy my booze from Trader Joe's more often than not. And when they don't have the good stuff and I've got to buy something terrible, I'm just going, Trader Joe's, you let me down. Where's my Elijah Craig?
Yeah, no, Trader Joe's has a nice scotch. I can't remember what it's called. It's called, what is it called?
I don't know. I get Elijah Craig Westbergen. Lindberger.
But it's like $10 for a fifth, and it's like, and it comes in one of those fancy can things where you take it out of the can and then you have a bottle.
It's a nice presentation. Bad for, what I'm hearing
it's a nice
is
presentation.
To buy for my dad for
yeah, next, buy that for your dad.
Coming up. Yeah. Be like,
well, it's nice because it makes it feels like you're buying them something nicer than what it really is.
And then scotch from the grocery store.
It looks nicer than the white label.
Yeah, Trader Joe's. Yeah. Yeah.
But I like Trader Joe's as a grocery store.
Trader Joe's also does not sponsor this program, despite the
it
fact
does that. Not, though it should.
Here I am, pretty much every Sunday.
Well, Philip, I hate to end us, but you're out of time.
That's fine.
You're like, it's fine. It's great, actually. Philip, thank you so much for being here. We have wanted to have you on the show for a while, so I'm glad we got to dive into A Child Alone with Strangers. Thank you to everybody who's been commenting live. That was great. Philip, you have a great fan base. Your Facebook group is very active, and everybody is incredibly loyal and excited about your work, which I love. So next time you even think the words, I'm not a big fancy writer, you type that into your Facebook group and watch those people go rabid and tell you otherwise.
I'm just going to find that GIF from Princess Bride going, liar, liar.
Yeah. And can I, if I may, can I say that if people who are listening who don't know about that, what you're referencing, I do have a Facebook group called Fricasse Freaks, which you can search. And
is it spelled like Fricasse or Freak?
No, it is Fricasse Freaks, but it's like my actual name.
Yeah.
That was started by three guys who are admins on it. And there's, I think we're up to like 350 members. So, and I do a lot of like giveaways for them, and I do some exclusive stuff for them. So it's a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
And you always announce when you're doing stuff first there. I love that.
I try and give them the early news when good stuff's happening. So it's a lot of fun. I appreciate all that support for sure.
Awesome.
All right,
for the Fricasse Freaks.
Oh, yeah, yes, the Fricasse Freaks. So thank you, Philip. Thank you, Allison, of course. Thank you, everybody who's watching live or watching us later on the repeat. Or if you're just listening to us, we didn't do anything too ridiculous this time that you will be confused about. Stay tuned next week when we have, Allison, do we have Lily Chu next week?
We have Lily Chu, author of The Comeback.
Yes, which has been like the number one Audible book for a while now. So we will be having Lily Chu next week, and we will see you all then.